Welcome to the Field Talk Podcast from the Linder Farm Network, the voice of Minnesota agriculture. Recently, cases of highly pathogenic avian influenza have been confirmed in ruminants, including young goats in Minnesota and in seven dairy herds in Texas, Kansas, Idaho, Michigan, and New Mexico. Dr. Joe Armstrong, veterinarian and livestock educator for the University of Minnesota Extension, was a recent guest on the Linder Farm Network to talk about the detections.
So I think when you talk to producers and you're worried, they're mostly worried about the impact on the industry, the end product, and the consumer confidence in that end product. And that can be scary, but they're also worried about their own farms and their own animals in terms of not just animal health and welfare, but what the mitigation strategies are for stopping some kind of illness from spreading. Whether, you know, we've been through high path with poultry in Minnesota, and it's scary to see that so many animals are dying. And then when there is a positive test, sometimes that entire flock is depopulated. So I think the biggest worry is those kind of things when we're talking about what is the extent that we're going to do, that we're going to take this to control it. That is what most producers are fearful of, in addition to the impact that it might have on consumer confidence in the product and then the market as well.
So what are some of those mitigation strategies to minimize the potential that something like this would happen in their farm?
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly about mitigating or minimizing the amount of contact that cattle have with wildlife. So that includes wild birds, but it also includes other mammals like cats and foxes and skunks. So that's what we really want to do. It's going to be impossible to eliminate contact between livestock and wildlife. You can't eliminate it, but you can minimize it. And that basically, one of the big things we worry about is waterfowl. So migrating waterfowl. So just keeping cattle and other livestock away from places that you know waterfowl hang out. That's one strategy. And then the rest of it, you know, if you have poultry on your farm, whether that's chickens or turkeys or ducks, if those are on your farm, we have to be careful about their interactions with cattle and other livestock, including shared resources like feed and water.
And is this something that should be alarming, or is it still kind of these are anomalies that if folks are diligent with some of the mitigation practices that you've laid out, you know, should just be kind of some isolated cases in your mind?
It's really about the fact that we cannot control where wildlife goes and where birds go. So you can be great with these strategies, and you could be perfect actually with most of them. And all, what it's doing is reducing your risk, but it is not eliminating the risk entirely. I find it very hard to believe that this will become isolated incidents. One thing to point out is that we don't know how the goat fits in. We don't have sequencing data yet to connect anything together to be able to comment on that quite yet. So we're waiting on that information still from USDA. But I would be very surprised if this is isolated incidents. And I would be very surprised if we didn't have it in Minnesota already.
Folks can be assured, you know, because of the food handling and food safety processes that are in place, that there's no risk for folks consuming, whether it's, you know, beef or milk, that is still a safe food supply.
You know, that's been the messaging all along, and we are super lucky to live in the United States, where we have one of the safest food supplies in the world, if not the safest food supply in the world. Pasteurization is a incredibly reliable technology. So for me, I mean, the big warning is to make sure that people know that we should not be drinking raw milk. And that's not a new recommendation. There's all sorts of reasons not to drink raw milk. And that is still the case now. But technology like pasteurization is so tried and true. We're very lucky to live in a country where we have such a safe food supply.
As far as the producers themselves, what should they watch for within their animals? If there's they suspect something is not right, how would this perhaps show up and manifest itself?
By far and away, the first thing that's going to happen is that your animals are going to back off feed. And the most likely population to do so is the second lactation and older, mid-lactation and later cows. So that population is what seems to be most at risk and is hit hardest. And the very first thing you're going to see is cows backing off feed. And that usually strings out over a 10-day period where they continue to back off feed. And it bottoms out, and then you start to see overtly clinical cases in that 10-day period, right around that 10-day mark. Other things you can watch for sure, include dead birds on your premise, unexplained deaths in wildlife. So that includes cats, barn cats I am including in wildlife. Those are big things to watch for. But the first thing you're going to see in your cows is definitely them backing off feed.
Continued vigilance and monitoring is their, I guess, first line of defense, so to speak.
Absolutely. Yeah, you just got to keep an eye out for it. The way this seems to be progressing when this illness is in cattle, which we have not confirmed that high avian influenza is the cause of the illness, but when this illness is in cattle, they need supportive care. And the faster you get on it with supportive care, with rehydration strategies and potentially anti-inflammatory medications, the quicker they get better. Just like when we're sick, you stay hydrated, you take anti-inflammatory medication, and your body takes care of the rest.
Thanks for joining us. Find other podcasts on Apple and Spotify and get the latest in farm news and market information from your local LFN affiliate.